The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. A boom shakalaka laka boom.
Say what?
Run down for what?
Say what?
What'd you be talking about, Willis? Today is Sunday. Once again, it's
no boom shakalaka.
It's April 7th, 2024. If you can believe it. Could you turn my mic up just a little bit?
Just a
hair so I can make sure I can hear myself. I like it when I can hear myself. Can you give me just a little more? There you go. A little more. I'm not in the right one. Better. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. All right. I guess we'll go with it. That sounds pretty good. All right. Now your mic there, turn it way down.
No, I'm going to turn you like off. Christina, cut his mic.
Sunday.
Not in charge yet, so stop it. Stop it.
Sunday.
Hey, but I have connections with people. Me and Christina, we're on the same page.
I see you guys out there. You know, what the heck's going on out there? Today is Sunday, once again, April 7th, 2024. My name is Mark Ten. I'm your host. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda. That's my sister, by the way, for all you uneducated leftists out there who sort of don't understand crap. My sister,
they know
who
everything.
Does all she does all the heavy lifting, and she never stops talking, and she's the slayer of everything.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Nice try.
And the kid that rocks around the clock, faster than speeding internet.
That didn't sound good.
Well, I was trying to emulate the fast-talking guy.
Just saying.
I could go like the kid that rocks around the clock. That'd be like Mountain Man.
Hello.
Faster than a speeding internet connection.
Oh, you sound like Biden.
No, Biden sounds like. I was the captain of the football team right where I graduated with honors and it's Build Back Better. And, under the fucking pressure.
Ruin a shop under pressure. You know the thing.
Yeah, that one.
You know that thing.
That sounds like Biden. Yeah, I have a little story on Biden today, and we're going to play it.
We have a lot of good
There's
stories.
A lot of stuff to cover, today, and, you know, we're kind of back because we had, Easter off, and, you know, we've been just, like, deep in the heart of taxes, and
it's just loads of fun. Everybody's so happy about their taxes.
Talk about crazy. Good grief. It's getting crazier by the day. I predict a lockup at some point. Because when you get too many layers of law that everybody has to try to comply with, and after a while when nobody even knows what the rules are anymore because there's too much law for anybody to understand, then you have to rely on people that don't understand the law either because they were educated by people who don't understand the law and have an agenda. And pretty soon, all you've got is chaos.
No. Put an AI in there and everything's good.
Yeah, that'll help.
I had to say it. Come on.
We're replacing no intelligence with artificially no intelligence. artificially
You probably have
low.
A better conversation than when you do with some of the others, but
I don't know. I can't even watch AI anymore.
What's that?
I don't agree. I was having a car accident 2 weeks ago, and I was supposed to call AAA to ask what to do because I'm new in America. I don't know what to do. And I'm calling, and there's this AI robot. I don't know how to call this AI person. How can I help you? Can you shortly tell what... I'm like, shaking. First of all, my English is a second language. I cannot explain the AI robot who's not understanding me, you know? And then...
Poor Christine. No. I never thought about it.
Robert, could you give me Bob? I get it.
Did it keep saying, I don't understand,
yeah,
repeat?
Yeah, they're like, can you shortly... How can I help you with your claim?
Now, that's that's exactly the same thing I get when I call Sacramento to the franchise tax board, and I'm talking to somebody who English is their second language, and most of them are speaking Chinese.
Yeah, most of them are Oriental. And then if you say something like, could I get somebody that I can understand, and then you hear click.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Shortly,
I mean,
how can I help you?
You know, Chris has got a... I mean, she's got English down pretty good. I mean, she's very understandable. But, man, I'll tell you, some of the guys I spoke with at the Franchise Tax Board, you're like, could you repeat that again? Because I didn't quite understand whether we were talking about something on the menu or, you know, an actual tax thing. Like, time to tell of the 540. And I'm thinking, what? Anyway. I digress. All I'm saying is that things are getting weird, aren't they? Doesn't it seem like... is it just me? Is it just me? Things are getting weirder and weirder every day. I mean,
Depends on what you're talking about.
When I watch YouTube, it's like everything's AI now. It's like I'm being told a story by a computer who has no real understanding of historical events. It has just been fed garbage in, garbage out, and I'm listening to them going, what are they even talking about? So that's where we're at.
Well, anyway. More and more we're seeing that most of the articles that you're going to read, especially from these news stations, that's all AI.
Yeah, it is.
Seeing, the more you play with AI, the more you see the way it spits out things, the more you start understanding that most of the stuff we're seeing nowadays is AI-generated or AI-completed.
Pfizer, brought to you by AI.
Like our local TV station?
Well, MSLSD AI. But it's like, they might as well just be a machine because they don't think for themselves. There's a script that's thrown in front of them at every turn, and they just repeat it like talking heads, like the old Max Headroom guy. So anyway, I digress. We do have a guest in the studio today, and we're kind of ignoring him. I'm trying to read his hat. What is it? It looks like a road. What is that, a road?
It has to do with an airplane.
Airplane Cessna. Anyway.
Why would he be wearing an airplane hat? I don't understand at all.
He's dressed in OD green, and it looks like a Forest Service road number up there on his hat. I don't know. Anyway, we got Mark Baird.
I think a better question would be, why would I be wearing a road hat?
I don't know. Because is there something we need to know?
Because you are pretending to be a road sign? Don't know. I mean...
I love a road as much as anybody.
As long as I'm not being eroded.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I'd have to take my hat off every time I wanted to know the name of the road.
Well, I guess I probably should get into the chat room sooner or later. But we do have a lot to talk about, Mark, and I'm not even sure why you're here because I didn't have anything to do with it. But
I'm not sure why I'm here either because I certainly don't have anything to do with it. I mean, you go through life, you try to live your life, you think everything's pretty much okay. And then the more you open your eyes every morning, the more you realize it's not only not okay, but it's never going to be okay again unless somebody gets involved in it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You ain't whistling Dixie.
Yeah, and you learn that there's more lies that you were told
through
everything.
Yeah.
It's like, does it stop?
I'm going to run this story here in a little while, and it just goes to that so much. And I'm not going to say anything about what it's about yet, but it's like freaking believable that nobody picks this up in the mainstream. I mean, we don't have a media anymore.
No, I mean, we don't. And when you look at Sacramento and you look at a lot of local officials, if their mouth is moving, they're lying. And you have a, I have a hard time reconciling that with what people want and need to live a normal life. I can't figure out, because there's this kind of invisible fence, I'll call the wall of common sense.
Well, it could be the cone of silence, yeah. but yeah.
But you look at that wall of common sense, and a lot of these things just, they bounce off it. Right. They can't penetrate. They can't stick because they're so contrary to just plain common sense.
Right.
I mean, for example, you have a governor that wants to bankrupt his state intentionally and bankrupt the people in it. People are fleeing the state,
yeah,
while illegal aliens are being given $30 billion a year to come here and commit crimes, and they're killing people and killing police officers and robbing people, and the squalor and drugs and homelessness that come across the southern border. And you got to ask yourself.
You don't like newcomers, right? Because you're a racist, dude. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like a lot of things, but it's not because I'm a racist. It's because they just bounce off that common sense wall. I mean, you know, when you look at it, people who break the law are not only encouraged to come here, which is a violation of Title 8, Section 1324 through about 1328. It amounts to sedition and being a traitor, quite frankly. And then you have people who won't enforce the law, and it's not that they don't, it's they won't, right, enforce the law. So these people are killing people, committing crimes. They get out with no bail, OR, commit more crimes, get out, OR, commit
well,
more crimes.
They weaponized the Department of Justice and the courts in a lot of ways as well. We're seeing it over in the southern New York district. So it's and I make light of it only because if I don't make light of it, I want to throw something through the front window.
Well, yeah, but here's where the common sense thing comes into it. So the everyday guy whose life is more expensive and less livable and more of a pain in the rear end and less safe and more dangerous, they don't change the way they vote. They're sitting there looking at all of this. Their elected officials are doing it. I mean, right, look at Creepy Joe and his pals. They're the ones doing it. But yet these people keep voting the same way.
Well, but it's changing. I think that we're seeing these changes across the board because if you look at the polling and you look at different aspects of it, I think that at this next election, they have to cheat to win.
Oh, absolutely. But they've been cheating for years and nobody seemed to care too much about it.
Well, they've been getting away with it. I think part of that was due to the media running cover for them. But does anybody actually pay attention to mainstream media anymore that has a brain?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. And there are people who are, I guess that you call them the uninformed voter. I don't know what a nice way of saying it is, but
moron.
They're the ones they read the news and they go, oh yeah, that Donald Trump guy, he must be a criminal because this guy says so.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they don't
exactly.
look any further than that. And quite frankly, we're outnumbered by them.
In California,
but it's
maybe.
Starting
we
to
are,
backfire
yeah.
because
in
just
California,
like with Trump,
maybe.
Yeah, you know, they thought that they would make him pay all this money and all this. Now he's got billions pouring into his campaigns and stuff. Just
right.
say that where,
yeah.
yeah, people are going, yeah.
Well, the chink in the armor and something that gives me a tremendous amount of hope is guys like Steve Garvey are actually ahead in the polls
right.
for United States Senate in
right.
California. We haven't had a conservative senator, and I don't know how conservative Garvey is. I suspect he's somewhere right of the middle.
Well,
but
anybody is better than Adam Schiff at this point, because Adam Schiff, or Shifty, or whatever you
yeah.
want to call
he's
him.
A, you know what?
I use another verb that kind of goes with fecal matter, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is an absolute criminal. He's a criminal. There's no question about it.
He's not only a criminal, but he's a lunatic. I mean, you
yeah.
listen to what this guy says, and you sit there and you think, how can a thinking, reasoning human being spout this bull manure without someone saying, hey, wait a minute, that just is not
true.
Not only not true, but it's so idiotic, I can't even believe that you're claiming that.
Well,
this
we're starting to see backlash, and I'll give you the bloodbath thing as a scenario. It used to be these guys would come out with, oh, Trump said bloodbath, he meant, you know, now it's not even 5 minutes later, everybody's mocking these people because they're taking it out of context and they're reading it into it, something that he didn't say, and they're twisting his words to verbally assault everybody's freaking common sense, like you say. But people aren't buying it anymore that are listening. And people are listening more because the, you know, Gerald Celente says when everybody loses it, when people lose it, lose everything, they lose it. Yeah. And so that's kind of what we're starting to see.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And God bless us. It's about time because if that window doesn't open here pretty soon, we'll all be broken. We'll all be gone.
Right.
And you have a guy like Newsom who is a liar's liar. I mean, he is the liar of most liars. He even lies about lying. I mean, so.
I like to think that we coined the term newscum here.
Yeah.
Because we were saying it 6 months ago, and then all of a sudden Trump came out and said it. So I like to take credit for that just in case. But.
I mean, we call Adam Schiff Adam Fecal Material for Brains.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take credit for
that. Yeah, I don't even know how he qualifies to run.
And you got guys like Eric Swalwell. Okay, so he represents San Ramon, Danville area. That's a pretty ritzy area.
Pretty
in the
nice.
Area.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't very many houses there that don't cost $1 million.
Well, that's Blackhawks there, too.
You have to ask yourself, how can people who make that kind of money, you can't be stupid and make that kind of money, well, at least not totally stupid in all areas anyway, and how can you make that kind of money over that broad an area and yet lack the brain power to see that this guy is not only an idiot, but he's a moron and he's a thief and a crook.
Right.
And he was having a relationship with a Chinese spy.
You can only cheat so much, you know, so that's the thing. Yeah. You know, so there has to be some constituents there that are actually voting for him, believe it.
Yes.
You know? And like we heard in the last program, like in New York, they've, you know, 380,000 more votes than people that are registered to vote, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But you can't put that off onto some of these places like that, you know, Danville and that area with Swalwell. I mean, because what do they see? Here's my thesis. These guys are so preoccupied with everything but understanding their rights, the Constitution.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant to them.
They're not paying attention.
They don't care.
They're not paying attention.
They don't want to care. They'd rather watch football. They would rather go golfing. They would rather whatever.
And as long as their lives don't change so that you'd notice it, that's how it's going to be. And my wife and I are furious because now the latest thing to come out is you're going to pay your electric bill not based on how much the electricity costs.
But how much you make.
But based on how much you make.
That's why you have to be poor.
They're going to make people poor.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing.
Well, it depends on how they arrive at it. Where are they getting the numbers to arrive at your income?
Well, here, let me throw some wood onto the fire here.
Oh, okay. Please do.
Speaking of fires, fire insurance. Okay, so
we don't have any.
Well, you know, we had to. They forced us into the California Fair Plan.
I won't pay it.
Well, so I get it, but I have a mortgage. I got kids.
You're in trouble.
There you go.
Yeah.
So they forced us into it. Now, I have several clients that are actually insurance agents, believe it or not. And they were – I was told that they received a letter from the California Fair Plan saying that there was no reserves to pay any claims. So what's happening –
Surprise. Are you so surprised about that?
Yeah.
Why they're forcing everybody into it?
No, in the insurance business, if you sold policies, took premiums in, and then had no reserves to pay claims if there was any made, they call that fraud. And that's a criminal, that's a felony fraud.
It's supposed to be.
It all depends on who's doing it.
Right. So if the government does it, they probably get a raise and they hand out more checks to illegal aliens, newcomers.
Yeah.
So how many people, we got fire season coming up here, and as you well know, a little bit about fire season, because you actually are a pilot that flies the tankers that drops the retardant in the water, and I don't know what all, but maybe we need, never mind, I was going to say something.
We're just looking at it this way, it's a liquid chemtrail, and leave it at that.
to your point, yeah, it works that way, except, you know, like EDD, they just send the money out. You know, that's a trust thing. You know, that money goes into a trust, just like the insurance people. It goes to a trust, basically. You know, it's fine for EDD to pay it out to all the illegal newcomers and all that. But what happens if you don't pay your payroll taxes?
There's no trust. It's not a trust thing. These guys have turned into a criminal mafia.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it. The only question is, what do we do about it and how far do we go?
Well, that is the point. I mean,
the train station.
Because I think if you don't smell a rat here, then your nose has been amputated.
You know, or you're a rat yourself.
Or you're a rat yourself, exactly. And you have something to gain by it. And I actually was interviewed by a reporter out of Oregon, and we were talking about a lot of this kind of stuff. It was Second Amendment, Jefferson related, and that sort of thing. And what she ended up saying was, because she admitted to being a far left liberal. Well, we don't want things to change because me and my friends have everything our way now.
Right.
So why would we want to share with you guys? And then she stopped and said, gee, that sounded a little selfish, didn't it?
But it was very truthful.
But it was truthful. So
till they lose everything.
Well, that's right. See, and then it's different. And that's why the Election Integrity Project has such an uphill battle, because these liberals have things their own way. They don't want election integrity. They don't want a free and fair election. Unless and until conservatives take over, then it will become important to them, because now all of a sudden they're not getting everything they want by hook or crook.
Well, that's why I kind of liked what the last program had to talk about with United, because and all Godspeed to them to win and get that to the Supreme Court. But my question is, and I keep thinking about this, it keeps coming back, what if it doesn't work? And we're coming to a crossroads here where it's going to take maybe more than legal actions.
Even the California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, has a provision for self-help.
Right.
And that is that government was formed to serve the people, and when it fails to serve the people, then the people have the responsibility to alter or reform government.
Or abolish it.
Well, it doesn't say abolish in California.
In the United States Constitution.
It doesn't say that anywhere in the United States Constitution.
Well,
it says it in the Declaration of Independence. But in the California Constitution, it says we have the right to alter or reform government any time the public good demands it. Well, any time doesn't mean in an election. It doesn't mean by referendum. It doesn't mean you carry a sign until someone in Sacramento looks out the window. It says any time the public good demands reform, we have the right, the inalienable right, to reform our own government. But that statement is filled with, fraught with danger and complications.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the United States Declaration of Independence, which, by the way, no court considers a legal document.
Of course not.
Oddly enough, that's where you have the right to alter or abolish government and replace it with a form of government more suitable to your needs.
Well, that's what the ten amendments, the Bill of Rights, is all about anyway. I mean, that's why they added them there. The government is not supposed to make any laws to abridge any of those rights.
Well, now we come to the crux of the matter. The government absolutely disregards the enumerated rights. They pay no attention to the enumerated rights. They change them in court all the time. And look.
And call us the criminals.
Oh, yeah. But the courts work for the government.
Right.
And Edmund Burke said a long time ago that all courts are corrupt because the judge knows where his paycheck comes from.
Right.
And they're not about to buck the system if it's going to cost them what amounts to a pretty cushy job in the overall scheme of the world.
Where do you think we're going then? At some point in time, they're going to try to take everything from everybody, I would think.
Well, they're already doing that.
I think there are a couple of things that you can absolutely do as an individual. Number one, when you see your slate on the ballot, don't just check off an incumbent judge because it's an incumbent. Take a little look at it or vote no or something.
Well, we got to get ones to run, too, like here in Shasta County. They didn't have anybody to run against them.
Well, it's worse in Siskiyou County. Our sheriff ran unopposed. Our district attorney ran unopposed. All the judges ran unopposed. I mean, it so happens that the sheriff is an okay guy. He's not a constitutional sheriff, but he leans that way-ish. Our district attorney seems to be okay, although he's failed to prosecute a good number of crimes lately, but the alternative would no doubt be much worse. So, you know, I see where people say, well, what's the alternative? And there is none. But we have to demand that there is an alternative.
There has to be enough of a public outcry, even if it's a Gandhi style, lay down in the road and not do anything. We've got to at least passive resistance.
And when you vote, even in federal elections, vote with an eye toward the judges, because quite frankly, the legislature doesn't run this country anymore. The court runs it, and the judges run it, and judges, which is expressly prohibited as powers to the court, judges are making law.
Well, I would argue that the bankers are running it, but then that would be another story.
Well, they have to have judges in their pocket, because the judges are legislating morality now, and they're legislating speech, and they're legislating, in other words, here, Dianne Feinstein's favorite argument against the Second Amendment was, well, the Second Amendment isn't without limits. Well, I'm sorry to say, but the way it's written, yes, it is. And free speech, and here's another favorite one. Well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but actually, yes, you can. I mean, there was a very famous Supreme Court case that said you could yell fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, they always cite that as
not true.
It's not true. That's exactly right. I guess.
And with that, we're going to take a break. If you want to call in, have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The border. I see what I see. I work on the border, and it's working on me. I lie awake at night, knowing what I know. There's a price on the head of every border patrol, where the smugglers do business. That's where I make a stand. I know this old desert like the back of my hand. I see greed in the bushes. I see snakes in the dark. Some are friends of my brothers. Can't you hear them dogs bark? I come home to Maria at the end of the day, in the shape of a shadow.
It's April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And Cool April Nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Chris Stapleton's new stuff there. Good stuff.
Did you hear the new song about LaVoy?
I started to look at that, and I got it. I actually have it pulled up on my computer,
yeah.
And then I didn't get to it. I actually got it right here.
It just made me think of him.
But, text me the name of that. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually going to review it because I don't play anything until I actually have time to listen to it.
Yeah.
Because I've been caught with my pants down, so to speak, a couple of times on it,
Well, no matter who it is, every once in a while they'll slip in an F-bomb.
That's embarrassing when you're at the elementary school, by the way.
I know, and at the radio station as well, we're back, and let's talk some more about, let's get into the case. We were talking a little bit over the break about where you're at in your fight to preserve our Second Amendment freedoms.
We have finally, after, I don't know, it's like 6 years, gotten this case out of the federal court. And as I speak, our brief is being written for the appellate court, for the Ninth Circuit Court.
So you're going to the three-judge panel?
We're going to the three-judge panel, finally. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because we were going to get nowhere in federal court. Judge Karen Mueller has a bone in her throat about civil rights. She has a bone in her throat about enumerated rights. She hates them. She hates you because you want them.
Right.
And look, it's in your vested interest because, as Patrick Henry said, The Constitution wasn't meant to restrain the people.
Right.
The Constitution was meant to restrain the government. In Article 1, Section 8, the powers were narrow and defined for a reason, that government could not overreach. So that
we forgot about that.
So now is she totally gone? You don't have to deal with her at all anymore, right?
Out of the picture.
But we're still in the Ninth Circuit, so why are you optimistic?
Well, I'm optimistic because according to the rules of the Ninth Circuit, this is a take-back case, and when I say take-back, this case was heard by a three-judge panel once before. When Mueller denied the preliminary injunction, we appealed that to the Ninth Circuit. And thank God again, because he is the author of all things in my heart and mind and its reality, we got a three-judge panel that had two Trump appointees and one Bush appointee.
You going to get the same panel?
Yes.
If the Ninth Circuit
follows its own rules, well, here's the issue. I keep calling them. I've got a case number. I've got everything I need. Who's the panel? Who's the panel? Who's the panel?
We don't know.
We don't announce that until a week before oral arguments.
Well, that makes me That makes me paranoid that they're just going to change the rules.
But they haven't to date. In other words, all of the Duncan case, the Miller case, a lot of the cases that were reversed and remanded by the United States Supreme Court in the face of Bruin,
right,
went back to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit was playing the waiting game because they're all about kicking the can
down the road. That's all I'm seeing on all these cases.
Well, so what they did was they remanded back to the federal court, but they remanded all those cases back to the guy that had them originally, Judge...
the guy down in San Diego?
Yeah, I can't remember his name for some reason.
Yeah, but he's a good judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he took those cases back, and he ruled on them again, Benitez.
Thank you.
He ruled on them again, and he said, well, these were unconstitutional the first time I ruled them on them, using Heller and McDonald and Nunn v. Georgia.
He was pretty scathing on his
last. He was extremely scathing.
Saying, when are you guys going to start doing your job, basically?
Right. Yeah, and I have a story about that, too. But at any rate, he said these were unconstitutional laws the first time I ruled on them, and now in light of Bruin, it's even worse.
Yeah.
And they're unconstitutional this time. And so then what the three judge or what the Ninth Circuit Court did was because Trump, and this is important how you vote for guys that appoint good judges, because Trump appointed enough judges in the Ninth Circuit, it was not a sure thing
right. That
these cases wouldn't go to a majority conservative panel. It's about still 60% to 40% in the Ninth Circuit, but you got that 40%, and sometimes those cards come up.
You know, I haven't heard, just as a sidebar to that, I haven't heard about Biden appointing much of anybody.
He has appointed as many judges as Trump, and he is going to surpass Trump if the Senate doesn't grow a backbone.
Right.
But
so they have to vet those guys. And, yeah.
They have to vet those guys, and they can delay those appointments forever. In fact, Senator Kennedy, who I have a great deal of respect for, not the liberal Kennedy, the conservative
Kennedy.
Right. No,
I know you're talking about John Kennedy from Louisiana.
He's asking them about their judicial record, and they can't tell them even what the process and procedure
is. I've seen some of those things on Forbes, and it is just a circus. Some of these people that are looking for judgeships, they're not even first-year law school students as far as knowledge. They don't have a freaking clue.
Well, so you're talking about Judge Mueller right now?
Well, her too.
But there's a few of them.
Because her abuse of process is absolutely mind-numbing. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, they're not, let's just be honest. They're activists.
Yeah.
They're not judges.
They're not judges. And she is certainly not a judge because her background was Sacramento City Council, and she resigned the Sacramento City Council so that the Democratic Party could appoint Daryl Steinberg, who was the previous Senate pro tem, and he then became mayor of Sacramento, and the bone they threw her for abdicating that seat to him was they threw her Obama threw her a federal judgeship.
Well, isn't corruption okay?
Well, it's okay to Democrats, but you know, that goes along with my theory that being a liberal is a mental disorder.
Well, I think the whole thing's a disorder.
It really is,
because if they understood the consequences of where we end up at the end of the road with this, they would all be gnashing their teeth and crying in their suit because they're going to lose everything just like everybody else.
Yeah, but they don't care.
I played that Russian agent who defected in like 1984 a couple weeks ago, and he says, yeah, they think they're going to be on the right side of things. At the end of the day, they know too much. They take them out and shoot them.
Well, that's right. And it's interesting to me because I'll pull out my road hat now. All roads are two-way streets. They might not have a line in the middle, but at some point somebody's going to drive the other direction, and you better be on the right side of the road when that happens. And you can believe you have the upper hand, but when the train comes, it's still going to run over you.
See, they can't grasp that all men are created equal, that all laws should be, we should be governed equally under the law. We should all have equal protection.
That no one is above the law.
That no one is above the law. And you hear that all the time from these projectionists. No one's above the law, but we're going to attack you in such a way that's completely illegal.
Right. So when we got this case away from Mueller, in one sense, we appealed the PI to the Ninth Circuit. Now, that was expensive.
The PI is?
A preliminary injunction.
Okay, what happens is, if you have a constitution,
constitutional issue, you would always apply to the court and you would put forth a request for a preliminary injunction. And what that does is it bars the state from enforcing an unconstitutional law until the case runs its course.
So in other words, it stops them from taking your rights away while it's being litigated.
Exactly. Now, there's a test for whether you should succeed with a preliminary injunction. And it's called the Winters test. And this was the Environmental Law Foundation sued.
This is the irreparable. possible harm thing?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. But the winner's test was some environmental group sued the United States Department of Defense because they thought that the Navy should not be allowed to use sonar in submarines because it hurt whales.
Dolphins' ears.
Yeah. And what the Supreme Court ruled was that defending this nation is a little more important than whether a whale can hear or not, you know, or even if they were right, which they weren't. But out of that case came some tests that you have to pass. And one of the most important tests is, as the litigant, as the appellee or the appellant, am I likely to succeed on the merits of the case?
Right.
Okay, well, if the state's denying you a constitutional guarantee, well, that means you're very likely to succeed on the merits of the case. And Penal Code 25850 is an outright ban on the Second Amendment. You are not allowed to carry a loaded weapon in public anywhere.
And that's where the irreparable harm could be created.
But it also doesn't specify concealed or open. 25850 doesn't. It just says you cannot carry a weapon in public, a loaded weapon in public, period. Any public place, you're in violation. Now, the carve-out is 26150 and 26155. And those are if you beg the state's permission and if you jump through enough hoops and if they decide to give you a permit.
Yeah.
Then you may carry a concealable weapon, so that limits the kind of weapon you can carry.
But that's permission from the government, which is not a right anymore.
Well, that's exactly correct. I was going to say that's exactly right, but that's confusing. That's exactly correct. And it has to be a concealable weapon, and it has to be concealed. And then you have to carry it in a manner that complies with all the conditions and codicils of the permit.
And as we're seeing even currently, that they make the rules so onerous that at some point in time it's very either more expensive than it's worth, or your ability to pay,
or you can't abide by the rules because of the way that they write them.
Yeah.
You're breaking the law anyway, even if you have a permit.
Well, it's kind of like the ghost gun. You know, it's like they make the rules so. Where's the ghost gun going to appear out of the magically out of the sky in your hand? Then you can protect yourself.
Well, what the state says is that 25850 has some exemptions. In other words, we're not preventing the carry of a weapon because you can, but this is the problem that they have with their own rules. You can produce a weapon in the event your life is in danger, and you may utilize that weapon after you have called the police and until they arrive. Well, the immediate question we asked in court is, where did the magic gun come from?
Well,
because you were a crook the minute you left home with it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're already a crook.
There's a similar theory that came out of Dallas called the magic bullet theory.
Exactly. And it held about as much water.
Exactly.
Well, what happened was we applied for the preliminary injunction. We had to be likely to succeed on the merits. We had to have the balance of equities tip in our favor. In other words, the balance of harm and equities. How much harm does it do to the state, and how much do we gain if we should win this preliminary injunction? Well, there are several Supreme Court cases that say the state is incapable of suffering harm when they are simply enjoined from enforcing an unconstitutional law, because the balance of equities is always in the favor of liberty.
Right.
Then there's another one that's the balance of equities and harm on the part of the government. Well, the government can suffer they can't claim any benefit to enforcing an unconstitutional law because the harm is always in, you know, enforcing unconstitutional laws. That is always harm.
That's always going to be damages to the citizen.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's this interest balancing, and then public safety comes into it, which the Bruin case took off the table. In other words, there is also a Supreme Court case, which they quoted, and I think it was Stevens v. somebody, but the Supreme Court said you cannot take away rights from the people as a whole because of a few bad actors who misuse that right to commit crimes. Well, that's always been true. It's never been an issue. And then also, in this case, you have the presumption of innocence. In other words, the judge, one of her favorite things was, well, how can California tell you're not a crook before you carry a weapon? Well, because when you wake up in the morning, you're not a crook. And if you've ever been to jury duty, you see these lawyers doing back handsprings trying to explain. My client, the bank robbing, murdering pedophile, you must see him, jurors, as an absolutely innocent man,
yeah. Right.
Unless there's compelling evidence beyond reasonable
right.
doubt.
Let's go back to common
right.
sense there.
But, and these defense attorneys are always saying that's a, you know, one of the basic constitutional principles. Well, quite frankly, that's not true.
Right.
There is no presumption of innocence in the Constitution. It didn't start until about 1935 at some law school. Some liberal lawyer said, well, even though you murdered the guy in front of 20 witnesses, you have to presume he's innocent before
well,
you find him
innocent
guilty.
Innocent till proven guilty.
Right, exactly. But the point is, if we have the presumption of innocence in this country, which everybody claims that we do, how can you be a crook until you prove yourself innocent to the
yeah,
state?
You can't. So the presumption is that you're innocent if you're a crook, but the presumption is you're guilty if you're not.
If you're a citizen
right.
simply exercising
it, your Second Amendment.
And here's where they lose it. What we're asking for is we are asking for a right to be vindicated that has been the law of the land in California since well before California statehood, all the way up until 2013.
And Bruin does apply to them as well. As well.
Amen.
I mean, because when you look at the historical context of the rules that were written
right.
back in the day and the few other parts of that decision,
right.
they're just completely ignoring that, and that's why it's you're appealing the decision and going up.
Yeah, so we appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and we made all kinds of claims that Mueller works for the state, she's not a judge, and we said all that stuff, and it would take me too long to go through it all. And the Ninth Circuit agreed with all of it. And they wrote a very scathing rebuke of this so-called judge and told her, you need to support the Constitution whether you like the document or not.
They took an oath. They took an oath. Right. If they couldn't take the oath of the, you know, faithfully, then they yeah. shouldn't have taken the oath.
They told her, you
they
need
should
to
be removed.
You need to stop being an attorney for the state.
Right.
And you need to start being a judge. When the appellant presents a case and the appellee presents a case, you're supposed to weigh those two cases, and whichever one has the constitutional validity, decide in favor of that party. You're not an advocate for the state. So this was like 68 pages, and it was pretty
well, you know, it goes back to activism. It's
yeah.
just like these guys locally, they're activists. They only cite the Constitution and law when it's in their favor, and
yeah.
they ignore it when it's not, because they have no honor, and
right.
they're not honest, and
right.
so they're just trying, they have a political agenda.
Right, and you can't trust a dishonest, dishonorable person, so.
Especially when they're a judge.
But it goes back to her, and then they also ordered her to act on this preliminary injunction expeditiously, and in open court, Judge Van Dyke, I believe, said that the state has failed to prove its case in 5 years. What makes you think you can prove it in another five? So you need to get on this. Well, what the judge did was she ignored the Ninth Circuit altogether. And this judge in open court said she was bound to follow Ninth Circuit precedent.
So it sounds like that she's more of an activist and not really
yeah.
worried about her political career
right.
in the future. If she ignores these guys, that's not going to sit well
yeah.
for another appointee.
Well, especially if we get this to the same panel as a take-back case.
Right. There,
and what the Ninth Circuit tries to do...
Who decides who you're going to?
Well, they have a set of hierarchy and rules. And here's the general rule. If there's a panel that's already been briefed on the case, they're going to hear the case again. Because they already know what the case is.
Right.
And if they break that rule, is there any consequences? Or is it just going to be one more brick in the, or, you know, Jenga piece pulled out of the court system where there's no trust at all left in them?
Well, look, there's no trust in the courts now, but here's how I see this going. If they break their own rules, if they do not issue us the same panel that's already briefed on the case, then that simply adds another arrow to our quiver when we ultimately get to the United States Supreme Court. If they follow their own rules and we go to Van Dyke, Lee, and Smith, we will win in a unanimous decision, and we'll win with a fairly well-written, extremely long, well-thought-out brief, because Judge Van Dyke and Judge Lee have already written scathing rebukes of about the anti-gun people in the Ninth Circuit, and well, they're good at it.
And if that's and that sounds like the avenue they would probably want to take, because would the state then appeal it to the Supreme Court?
No, no, they wouldn't. Here's what they would do, though. They would allow the en banc panel to grab the case and reverse the decision.
That seems to be what they would do.
They do it. They do it.
They just did it too long ago.
They've been doing that in Second Amendment cases for over 50 years.
So it's a delay tactic. You have throw them in purgatory and.
But for us, it's a second win in the Ninth Circuit. It would be two wins in a row in the Ninth Circuit. So when we write our writ for cert to the Supreme Court, we're coming off of two wins in the federal court.
Does that give you weight to hear the course?
Yes.
Or to hear the case?
Yes. And the reason why is simple. Because the Ninth Circuit was the objective focus in the Bruin decision of courts that don't follow the Constitution and don't follow the law. The Second Circuit and the Ninth Circuit were specifically mentioned as legally vulnerable because they fail to follow precedent, they fail to follow the law, they fail to follow the Second Amendment, they fail to follow the rules of federal procedure,
They would slap them down at least to show them who's the dad.
And this would be a good case for them to take because it's a straight-up deal. What we're saying is...
And they want to retain their power. They can't let these lower courts... not follow their decisions.
Well, Article 3, Section 1 of the United States Constitution says all power, all equity and judicial power is vested in one Supreme Court and then other such lower courts as Congress may appoint from time to time.
Well, and that would start to diminish their power, which I mean, that's a brilliant strategy from the founder's perspective as well, just to make sure that, because if you started diminishing the power, then their decisions wouldn't mean anything at all.
Exactly. So the Supreme Court would have a vested interest in a straight-up case. In other words, they will fail to pick up cert on cases that are either diluted or are problematic. In other words, if I'm the only plaintiff left on the case, by the way, so I'm alone on the paperwork. If I had a criminal record or I was somehow socially unacceptable, then they might say, well, this might not be the right case for us, because if we find in favor of the Second Amendment, they'll say, oh, you let a crook carry a gun.
Right. You've got baggage.
You have baggage. Yeah. So I have no baggage. This is a straight-up deal. California had undiluted, uninfluenced, unremarkable, totally constitutional carry from before its inception as a state until 2013, just 10 years ago. And the balance of equity certainly tips in our favor, because 170 years of Second Amendment guarantees, and then all of a sudden the state says, no, you can't. And why did they say it? Why did they say you can't carry a gun? Because Anthony Portantino stood up in front of the Senate and says, you don't need a gun to go buy a cheeseburger. So it had nothing to do with constitutional law. It had nothing to do with any problem. It had nothing to do with anything except the California legislature didn't like it. And that's exactly what the Second Amendment is supposed to protect us against.
Yeah.
So
Let
me get this straight. It gets kicked over to the Ninth Circuit, three-judge panel.
We win.
And you win. Okay. If they try to get that to an en banc panel, which sounds like they probably will.
They will.
Will the injunction be already enjoined?
What the motions panel would probably do for the en banc, because the en banc panel has tried to get involved in this case once before, and the state stupidly stopped them. They when we went to the Ninth Circuit to appeal this PI, the en banc motions panel ordered the state and us to write a brief saying, why shouldn't we just take this case right now?
Right.
Well, and the state argued, well, because nothing's even been decided yet. Well, we argued the same thing. We said, well, there's nothing that's even been decided. What would you be taking?
Right.
And that kept the en banc panel out of it, because they already see this case as a problem.
Right.
And the fact that the Ninth Circuit reversed and remanded, that is now law. And everything those guys said is also law.
So that would then make it the injunction stay.
Well, the motions panel could overturn it, but the point is they can't stop us from quoting it, because that part of the case is already settled. And no one overruled it. So their time to jump in would have been when the Ninth Circuit reversed and remanded the PI. The en banc should have jumped in right then, and they didn't.
So if the en banc, you know, gets there, but you still can say, hey, you know, we don't have to follow the... You know, we can do what we want. We can follow the Constitution at this point.
Well, that's what we would try to say, yes. Now, we'll see how that, because you know courts are crooks and they do things all the time.
Depends
that aren't
on
legal.
Who's your sheriff, I guess.
It does depend on who's your sheriff. And all 58 sheriffs in California would enforce California law. There isn't a single one of them that would watch you carry a gun down the street and not do something about it. We don't have any backbone here. But that's beside the point, because what would happen is the en banc would take the case.
We got 1 minute here, okay. So we're going to run out of time, and then we'll have to
There's only one reason why they would take the case, and that's to reverse it, and then the Supreme Court would be in a superlative position to pick this case up and give us the win.
Time frame?
No. Who knows?
I can't imagine the oral argument, because the thing is, we couldn't ask for an expedited process because that would have changed which panel we might have gotten.
Right.
It would have been a rotation.
It went pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. I think our oral will be around August or maybe a little before.
Are they going to cut us off? I don't know if you're going to stay over or what we're going to do, we will see everybody in about 5 minutes. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Doing what I've always done. Ain't that complicated.
Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Customs and Border Protection says it's expanding the use of technology to process more and more passengers as travel booms following the pandemic.
During fiscal year 2023, the agency processed nearly 400 million travelers at the ports of entry. That's a 24% increase over the previous year. When looking at the country's top 20 airports by passenger volume, officers processed 31% more travelers, while average wait times increased 11%. To speed movement through the airports, officials are moving toward app-based technologies like the Mobile Passport Control app, which allows passengers to upload their photos and information. When those passengers enter the screening area, they get routed to a separate line. Jeremy House reporting.
The West Virginia United Students Union is leading an opposition to big cuts at the state's flagship university that have attracted national attention.
The union organized protests, circulated petitions, and helped save a handful of teaching positions before 143 faculty and 28 majors were ultimately cut. West Virginia University in September cut its world language department and dozens of other programs and subjects such as English, math, and music amid a $45 million budget shortfall. Union members say they want to usher in a new era of student involvement in university political life. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
Boeing CEO David Calhoun is getting compensation valued at $33 million for last year, nearly all of it in stock awards, but he's turned down a bonus of $3 million. And those stocks are going down because of how the company's been doing under his management. A raft of agreements between African countries and Dubai-based Blue Carbon could give the company control over big swaths of land. Liberia giving up 10% to the company. Zimbabwe, 20%. This is townhall.com.
Our government has engorged itself on borrowed money. Now we are over $30 trillion in debt. If this bubble finally implodes, many Americans would be left penniless and heartbroken. For example, what happens if state and federal pension funds go broke, or if 401ks and IRAs get cut in half due to hyperinflation? Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau, news analyst, best-selling author, and evangelical leader to millions of people just like you. People who understand something big is coming. Now's the time to prepare with a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Precious metals are among the most proven hedges you can make. And they're even better inside a tax advantage account. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached, so just text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you are blessed with continued prosperity.
Torrential rains in Australia have led authorities in Sydney to issue evacuation warnings due to an overflowing reservoir.
Despite blue skies over Sydney, the authorities warn the risk of flooding from swollen rivers is increasing after 3 days of heavy downpours. Rainfall records have been broken, and more people could be forced to leave their homes. Further south, the storms have continued. Residents in several larger towns and cities in the Australian state of New South Wales have been told to stay indoors due to damaging winds and intense rainfall. Southern parts of Queensland have also been warned to expect more stormy weather over the weekend.
BBC correspondent Phil Mercer. A close ally of populist Prime Minister Robert Fico has defeated a pro-Western career diplomat to become Slovakia's new president, succeeding the country's first female head of state. News and analysis at townhall.com. California-based 99-cent-only stores are no more.
The retailer closed all 371 of its outlets Friday. The shuttering ends the chain's 42-year run of selling an assortment of bargain basement merchandise. The company has stores across California, Arizona, Nevada, and Texas. Interim CEO Mike Simoncic said in a statement that the retailer has struggled for years as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, changes in consumer demand, inflation, and rising levels of product shrink. A measure that encompasses losses from employee theft, shoplifting, damage, administrative errors, and more. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, April the 7th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including former California Governor Jerry Brown, who's 86 years old. Pro Football and College Football Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett is 70, actor Russell Crowe, 60. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I was vibing. Okay.
He was vibing out.
Yeah, man. With his cool glasses. You notice he went got his cool glasses
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I was trying to decide. He looks like Stewie a little bit right now.
Hey. Yeah, he kind of does.
Anyway, we're mummy, back here with...
Mummy.
We're back here with Mark Barron. I'm not going to respond
slap
to that.
Slap the punk.
Yeah, there you go. And we're gonna go ahead and wrap up and tell us. Okay, so what do we need to take away from this?
We can win this case, and it's likely that it's very likely that we will win it. We may have to go to the Supreme Court to do it. Quite frankly, if California was smart, they'd take the loss in the Ninth because it would only affect about two or three states in the Ninth Circuit. And if they lose in the Supreme Court, they will have handed their Democratic buddies constitutional carry for the entire United States when only 30 states have it right now. So it's 50-50 whether the Democrats will say, hey, you know what, take the loss on that because it only affects you and a couple other states. And they may.
But they're not smart.
Well, they've never been smart. You can't accuse them of that. Yeah. But, you know, lightning can strike. I don't know. But we can win this thing. And the big problem is I need everybody's help. I can't. My wife and I aren't rich. We can't win this on our own. And if you could please send a contribution to PECAN, that's PECAN, all caps, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. And I'm sure someone will post that in the chat room, I guess.
Yeah.
Or go to the website, and it's all lowercase letters, all one word, tokeepandbear.com. Tokeepandbear.com. There's a donate button, and that goes straight into the account.
Yes, it does.
Have no paid staff. I don't touch any of the money. I don't even know how much we have on any given day. Linda uses it to pay the attorneys and court costs, and that is it.
That's all we use it for, yeah.
That's all it goes to. Please help. I can win this. You can defend yourselves and your family with constitutional guarantees as the founders intended. And remember, the Second Amendment wasn't written in Greek or ancient Egyptian. It's written in plain English so everybody can understand it, and that's the problem. The government understands what rights we have. They just don't like them.
They don't want us to have them is what the deal is.
But if you help, we can restore the Second Amendment, and with that, the rest of them will come back to us.
And I just want to say to the people, we have donors that give every week or every month or whatever, and, you know, I really appreciate seeing those checks come in.
Yeah.
It does help. They're not big checks necessarily.
It helps a lot.
But every little bit does help to get in the hoppers to pay for the attorneys and stuff, because unfortunately, the bills are not small.
And every time we actually show up in court, it's at least $25,000.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
But thank you guys. Thank you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. It just worked out that you were in town, so that worked out great for us.
Have fun and give it to them.
That's what we do.
Oh, yeah. We've got explosive new stories coming out here. So
some of them aren't new, but they're explosive. So
okay.
All right, here we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to go with our town hall to start with. And after that, I've got some other stories that we need to get into. So here we go. This is our town hall.
Good day. Welcome to this week's town hall news brief. I'm Damian Ward, your host, here with the latest local updates. In a town hall exclusive report, mystery surrounds Shasta Lake Mayor's alleged elder abuse and missing classic car. In a shocking turn of events, Janice Powell, Mayor of Shasta Lake, an executive employee of the Chamber of Commerce, has been found by the Shasta County Superior Court to have committed elder abuse and financial elder abuse against her elderly parents, Jack and Darlene Powell. This case has taken a mysterious turn as a classic 1968 Chevelle wrongfully transferred to Mayor Powell has gone missing. Court documents reveal that Mayor Powell moved into her parents' home in 2007 without a rental agreement or paying rent. In 2021, Jack and Darlene, both in their 90s, were forced to move into assisted living due to their declining health. Darlene requested that her daughter, Miss Powell, vacate the property so it could be sold to cover their care expenses, but she refused. The situation escalated in June 2021 when Mayor Powell took her father, Jack, who had advanced dementia, to the DMV and had him sign over the title of his cherished 1968 Chevelle to her. According to the response to the restraining order, she claims she was holding the title in her name as a backup for her dad as long as he lives. Darlene filed for an elder abuse restraining order against Mayor Powell in October of 2021, but tragically passed away the morning of the court hearing, January 3, 2022. On November 1, 2022, Frank Powell, Mayor Powell's brother and co-trustee of their parents' trust, filed a petition against her alleging breach of trust, financial elder abuse, and other charges. The petition also sought to recover the real property and the 1968 Chevelle. Jack Powell passed away in December 2022. During a hearing on May 5, 2023, the court found Mayor Powell guilty of breaching her duties as a trustee by refusing to vacate the home, failing to pay rent, and wrongfully transferring the Chevelle's title to herself. The judge removed Mayor Powell as a trustee and ordered her to return the classic car to Frank Powell by July 15, 2023, and pay the trust of $23,969.78 for unpaid rent. Additionally, the judge imposed $87,939.56 statutory penalty, which was double the amount owed for rent and double the value of the Chevelle, on Mayor Powell for committing elderly financial abuse, which would be deducted from her share of the trust distribution if left unpaid. On November 1, 2023, the matter was escalated when the court issued a writ of possession for the Chevelle after Frank Powell provided evidence suggesting Mayor Powell had moved the vehicle to a relative's home in Shasta County. The court found probable cause to believe that Mayor Powell had feloniously taken the car by means of other than false or fraudulent representation, pretense, or embezzlement. However, when the Sheriff's Department searched for the possible locations on December 12, 2023, they could not locate the car. The court's findings have cast a shadow over Mayor Powell's ability to govern effectively in her standing in the community. As an elected official and representative of the Chamber of Commerce, her alleged actions have raised concerns about her integrity and fitness for office. The public is questioning whether she can continue to serve in her roles given the serious nature of the allegations and court's determinations. Furthermore, the court's finding of probable cause that Mayor Powell feloniously took the 1968 Chevelle raises the possibility of future criminal charges being filed, the disappearance of the classic car, and her failure to comply with the court's order to surrender the vehicle by July 2023 may also have further legal consequences. As this story continues to unfold, the community is left wondering about the fate of Mayor Powell's political career, her standing in the Chamber of Commerce, and the potential legal ramifications she may face. Town Hall Brief will diligently follow the case and provide updates as new information emerges. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
All right, there we go. That's our Town Hall, and now we've got a story. I got a couple stories here we got to go over. This one, man, I'll tell you what. Mainstream media is just—I mean, it's just unconscionable that they will, you know, not report on some of the stuff that's going on. Now, this next story is about the diary from Joe Biden's daughter that they found a couple of years ago, Ashley Biden, in a halfway house. She was, you know, getting rehab and so forth, and she left it there by her own admission. She says it's hers. But I'm going to let this is OAN News, and this is Chanel Rion. And I want to play this, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. But this is unbelievable that, and you know, the mainstream – well, it's not unbelievable. The mainstream media is obviously a Democratic in-the-tank, you know, extension of the party of the Democrats' propaganda. So let's play this, and then we can talk about it. Here we go.
The Department of Injustice is playing cleanup for the Biden family of perverts, and you are paying for it. Case in point, on April 3, 2024, the DOJ asked a Southern District of New York judge to sentence a single mother of two, Amy Harris, to 10 months in prison for having found first daughter Ashley Biden's diary in a Florida halfway house. Immediately after this announcement, I noticed something strange. The news media dutifully parroted the DOJ's exact language from their press release describing the situation and labeling the woman who found the diary as the diary thief, describing it as a diary theft, referring to it as a stolen diary. To be clear, this is not a story about some perverted diary of another drug addict Biden family member. This is a much bigger and more disturbing trend. The DOJ and the Southern District of New York have this habit of going after the people who expose the crimes, not the people who commit them. When this story first broke in 2020, Amy Harris found the diary in what was described as a halfway house. Ashley Biden was in rehab in Palm Beach, Florida, and stayed at this house before moving to Philadelphia in 2020. Amy Harris, also out of rehab, moved in a few weeks later and found Ashley Biden's diary stashed between a mattress. The diary included Ashley Biden's explosive claims of taking showers with her dad, Joe. Ashley Biden would, like her half-brother Hunter, suffer with drug and sex addictions from her early and inappropriate familial relations. The diary was so disgusting, we hoped it was fake. We wouldn't be so lucky. Amy Harris sold this diary to the investigative team at Project Veritas. Ashley herself confirmed it was her diary.
There's a diary here. It starts in January. It says, January, at the end of a New York month, I'm sitting on a bed at the I building.
Yeah, so if you could just give everything that you have to Eric, that would be really great.
I don't want to give this to the wrong person. I mean, I want to make sure
at this point, and I don't mean to, I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff.
Project Veritas never published the full diary. And while even the New York Times had to admit the diary was real, they failed to mention its deeply disturbing contents. They did, however, confirm the FBI was on the case. The Daily Mail next reported that the FBI wasn't investigating Amy Harris for theft at all. There was nothing illegal about finding the diary in a halfway house where Ashley left it. Nor did the FBI say Amy stole the diary. Rather, the FBI was investigating Amy Harris for selling the diary to the media. We find out later, Ashley Biden's lawyer called for the Southern District of New York to get involved. That same day, the Southern District of New York opened an investigation into the journalists at Project Veritas. Pre-dawn FBI raids on journalists followed. No Project Veritas journalist was charged with the crime. But all their devices were seized. The SDNY is the Biden's personal Gestapo. They're not even hiding it anymore. So now the DOJ wants you to think that Amy burgled the diary out of Ashley Biden's nightstand. The reality is Amy found Ashley Biden's diary in a halfway house, abandoned, like Hunter's laptop. That's not theft. So the DOJ had a PR problem. Either they needed to admit that Joe Biden was a pedophile, or the diary wasn't Ashley's. The DOJ did neither. No one at the DOJ, or in the media for that matter, are curious about the claims made in the journal. But the woman who exposed all of this, she goes to jail. And you pay for it. The diary confirms three things. Joe Biden is a pedophile who produces drug addicts for children. The DOJ will stretch the truth like taffy to protect the Biden name. And the DOJ is willing to throw anyone under the bus who exposes crimes against their dirty China doll politicians. This Ashley Biden diary story is yet another fine example of how the Southern District of New York and the DOJ are operating as the private legal defense firm of the Biden family. Why is the DOJ protecting the Bidens at our expense? For One American News, I'm Chanel Vian, and this is The Fine Point.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty important story to get out there if people haven't heard about it. It's unbelievable. Do we still have our caller on the phone?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to our caller, and then we'll get back to the story here. Are you there, Stones?
Stones, good morning.
Morning.
Also known as Quick Draw. Hey, question for you, Mark. And a couple of years ago when you were going to pay for a recount, can you confirm, it was approximately $11,000 a day, but it was for a countywide race. Can you confirm that?
Yes, it was a
okay.
It was for the countywide race to do a recount,
yep.
And
yep.
It was going to be $11,000 per day, and they said probably at least five. Well, until it was done,
yeah.
and they would probably stretch it out, so it would be $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 or better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, it gets better. Hey, real quick on that town hall. At first I thought it was AI voice, but then after listening to it, I could tell all you did was add bass and a British twang, but good job on that. I can tell. But nice job on that. Hey, so, yeah, the registrar has responded to the Laura Hobbs camp on the recount. It's 8,600 per day.
Right.
Well, first of all, they're going to have to sort, 11,000 ballots, but... And again, that's only a fifth, Mark, of what your recount was going to be as far as the number of ballots. So that's
right.
One fifth they're going to sort, and they're going to count even fewer because they're only going to count two of the four candidates. And they want to charge us $8,600 a day. Something smells in Fishtown.
Well, that's how they do it. They want to discourage anybody from examining any of the evidence. We just have to trust them, and then they destroy the evidence like they did in the last election. These I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. These people are not acting in the best interest of a fair and a authentic
fair.
Election.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so here's the deal. So, of course, it's up to Laura tomorrow whether we're going to have this particular recount. I personally don't think it's going to happen, but it's Laura's decision.
Right.
However, here's the beauty of it. We have filed a contest. Yes, we have filed a contest in Superior Court. Contests don't happen that often. The last one that I could find, and maybe I didn't go to all the databases, is 2012 in Vernon, California, where a city councilman lost by like four votes. And all they had to do was prove those four votes were from outside of the district. And so this is not unheard of, a contest on election, although in California it's very rare. There should be an announcement in a couple of days that should make everybody, the patriots that want fair and transparent elections, should be an announcement in the next couple of days that it's really going to bolster this effort. you know, we are looking for fundraising, though. We need to raise some money because none of this is free. But you know what? If the 2,000 folks that voted for Laura donated $5 apiece, we'd be looking pretty darn good. So this contest, the judge this week should be looking at the filings this week. And then this is in the law. The judge has to call for a hearing within 10 to 20 days. So we're likely going to see this hearing before April 27th. So that's going to be very interesting. And we have filed some very good evidence and what we believe is proof of illegal votes in Shasta County. And remember, we only have to show 14 illegal votes to get Mr. Long under the 50%. He's only 50% plus 14. So our initial goal, of course, is we want to have a fair and transparent election, but we believe Laura should, at a minimum, go to the runoff in November. But we'll see. We've submitted several remedies that the court will entertain, and it's going to be interesting. And by the way, the contest, it may or may not happen tomorrow. This is separate. The recount. Did I say something? The recount tomorrow may or may not happen. However, the contest we filed, we actually can ask for a recount connected to the contest. You heard me right. So even though a recount may not happen tomorrow, there could still be a recount in the coming weeks. But anyways, there's a lot going on. We need the support. VoteLauraHobbs.com. You know, $5 a piece, and I'm telling you what, we're looking really good right now. Anyways, I'll get off unless you have a question.
Where would they send the money to?
VoteLauraHobbs.com. Click on donate.
There you go. All right. The only question I have is that on the recount here, have you guys checked the voter rolls out? Have you checked out the addresses and matched them up? Have you checked out how many people voted with how many people ballots there are?
We're looking into all of that. Aside from what we have already submitted to the court for this contest, we are looking at all of that. Yes, we are.
Very good. Very good. Because I think that's where if there's cheating going on, it'll show up, is that when you show how many people voted and match them up to the addresses, if that's even possible at this point, I think that's where you're going to start seeing the problems.
Now, the evidence is right in front of us, Mark. The establishment, they have not been dropping breadcrumbs for decades. They have been dropping loaves of bread.
Really?
It's right in front of us. We're tripping over the loaves of bread, Mark. I'm not kidding you.
Nice.
It's right in front of us. It's just getting it in front of an honest judge that says, wow, this is messed up. Let's do something about it. Anyways, I appreciate the time today.
All right. Thanks, thanks, Rich. And I was just going to say, I don't know what you think about this USA thing that Terry was talking about, but it sounds like a pretty good idea to me. All right. So let's get back to our story that we were talking about. I mean, there were some pretty big allegations in this last story we talked about with the New York, the DOJ and the Southern District of New York, and as being Biden's personal Gestapo. Of course, you know, if you look at this, it's proved that the diary is authentic, just kind of like the laptop. And it makes you wonder, gee, are these kids leaving you know, trails of bread in the forest? Because, you know, is it a psychological thing that they leave their evidence all over the place, or is there just so much evidence that you can't help but find it, or is this a cry for help? I mean, because you can look at this stuff, and, you know, why wouldn't our local meatheads even look at this stuff? Oh, Trump, we talk about Trump, I mean, on all this stuff across the board, but if you mention that Joe's a pedophile, then there's nothing that proves it. Well, there's a ton of information that does prove it, and they got nothing to prove anything on Trump at all. He's been never convicted of anything. They said he was convicted of rape. He wasn't convicted of rape.
And there's a part of me that thinks personally that she left that there intentionally.
That's what I'm kind of saying. I mean,
I think that's what it was.
Well, I look at the laptop. I mean, you know, that they said, oh, there was no laptop. Oh, they said it wasn't real, all this stuff, and then it was proven real. Then they had it for a year. Well, who goes and leaves their laptop? And by the way, you can go check all these things. If you go to Marco Polo, it's all there. In fact, I'll pull it up right now just to give you the proper address for the laptop. You can actually go there and look at it all. And I'll pull it up here in a second. But, you know, they got the cell phones, stills, you know, the screenshots. It's all there. And so it's like I say, you have to wonder, does somebody do that on purpose? You know, I mean, how do you do that? What do? You just walk off and, oh, I forgot my laptop over there who has just a bunch of crap on there. Oh, am I stupid or I don't care?
So obviously, too, in this diary, you don't put it in a spot like that where you're hiding it if you're not concerned about somebody seeing it there like that and then leave it there. I feel like if it was left in a nightstand, I would feel more like that would be something that would be more likely that it could have just been left there. The fact that you hide something to try to keep it from the public eye and then just decide, I'm going to leave it there, that's something that's on your mind. I mean, just psychologically.
It's crazy. And by the way, the laptop website is BidenLaptopMedia.com. BidenLaptopMedia.com. Go look for yourself. It's all there. It's all out there in the public square. And so, you know, it's just amazing. But has anybody in the mainstream media talked about the diary or the laptop except to say that, you know, it's fake news? I don't know. I mean, when I turn on Channel 7 or Channel 12 or Channel 24 in the morning, it's absolutely surreal because they don't talk about much of anything of substance as far as, you know, in the political arena. Nothing that's been happening in the Democratic arena. I mean, they don't talk about Joe's dementia. They don't talk about the laptop. They don't talk about the diary. They don't talk about the prosecutions. Everything's bad, Trump. You know, at some point in time, when do you wake up and say, I'm being lied to constantly?
That was like 2 years ago, at least.
Yeah. So it's just crazy, but... you know, there's so many things happening in the world right now that matter. You know, it's not the pet of the week. You know, and it's nice to have, you know, feel good stories, but when you completely ignore all the other stories, it's crazy. Anyway, I guess we got Stones back on the line here.
No, it looks like we've got to take a break.
Oh, we're going to take a break. Oh, I'm sorry. I saw the sign there. All right. Let's take a break and come back, and then I want to talk a little bit about the economy, gold, silver, all that kind of stuff.
That'll work.
Looking for a career? One that helps your friends, neighbors, and community? Good news! The Reading Rancheria Trinity Health Center is having a job fair Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the new health center in Weaverville. It's your chance to learn about our current career opportunities, meet with representatives from multiple Reading Rancheria departments, discuss employee benefits, and even get assistance submitting applications. The Reading Rancheria Trinity Health Center job fair, Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the new health center. Come and learn how to become part of our work family and make a difference in our community.
Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at RedBluffRoundup.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Government filled with a bunch of reptiles and a bunch of pedophiles. Fact check, we all know never make it to a trial when trafficking a child. Fact check, you don't want to be scrutinizing the government or you'll be suicided. You and I both know what the truth they hide when they're using Biden. Fact check, the CIA killed MLK and JFK both. Fact check, the moon landing wasn't real, it was all a hoax. Fact check, Big Pharma putting profits over every single damn patient. Fact check, we all know that birds ain't real, they just government surveillance. Fact check, rap labels been profiting off of the prison system in jails. Fact check, we all breathing chemicals every single day from chemtrails. Fact check, everybody know Michelle Obama a man and never was pregnant. Fact check, we all know that Barack Obama was really born out in Kenya. Fact check, who decides what is real and what is cap? What is cap? Who decides what is fake and what is fact? What is fact? They censor someone that you hate and then you clap. Then you clap, but they coming for you next. It's a trap, it's a trap. Who decides what is real and what is cap? What is cap? Who decides what is fake and what is fact? What is fact? They censor someone that you hate and then you clap. Then you clap, but they coming for you next. It's a trap, it's a trap. Come on, man, the earth is flat, it's not round. Fact check, Bush knew them towers were gonna get knocked down. Fact check, Alex Jones been right with everything he said. Fact check, Tupac alive in Cuba, man, he isn't dead. Fact check.
Tupac's alive in Cuba. Just saying. Turning to our economy, we had a jobs report that was just absolutely off the charts, stellar this last week.
It's really good.
That's really super good. Yeah. And, I have some
everything's happy.
I have some beachfront property in Arizona that I want to sell you, because it's got a great view of the ocean, and, you know, it's stellar. Piece of
well,
land.
If you even begin to believe what they say about the jobs, is ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous, and it's funny because the mainstream will highlight it. There, we created 350,000 new jobs this year, and then a month later, they correct it. It's like 50,000, and most of them are illegal aliens. And
then in the next breath, they'll say something like, "All of the dollar stores are closing in, you know, 25 states."
There's a list of
yeah, I'm just
layoffs.
Saying, so how do you have more jobs if everybody's closing their doors?
You know, I'm looking at Mountaintop Times Substack at the home, and the title of the page is "Bidenomics Green New Deal Collapses with 800,000 Jobs Losses." That's kind of opposite information of what we've been getting, isn't it? I mean, 800,000 jobs, you know, and so full-time jobs is in the red, part-time jobs went up.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when Trump was in office, when you drove around? I went back to Colorado, and almost everywhere you stopped, it said, "Help wanted."
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that now?
Most of the places just closed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what's taking place right now. That new minimum wage law went into effect, and you're seeing prices going sky high.
I've been afraid. Maybe I'll go to In-N-Out today because I heard that they had a pretty significant price increase at the fast food restaurants to cover that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was a huge amount. I think they raised it between the day before and the day after. I want to say it was somewhere between like 60 to 90 cents for most of the items.
So now we only pay $15 or $16 for a hamburger.
Yeah, but it's only a few months. Then they will raise it more because since the salary is $20 per hour,
right.
It's more than usually a regular cook or Sarah has in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So the price for the burger will... Burger?
I'm burger.
Sorry. Excuse me. They'll raise kind of be more than $20 in like a year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then what they will do is they'll probably lay off quite a few people too.
Well, and that's the thing too. So you've got these companies, and I keep seeing these people in these news articles. They're saying, "Oh, well, this company was exempt. Why'd they close down? Because why would you work there for $15 when you can go work at Taco Bell and make $5 an hour more? You're not going to have quality employees who stay there, so they close down."
Well, we've seen the corruption with Newsome down there. You know, having his friend from Panera, not subject to the fast food rules, and then everybody made such a stink about it that all of a sudden he got roped into it as well because they weren't going to raise his prices. So, you know, it's kind of like, we can't clean up San Francisco unless the Chinese dictator shows up.
And people don't realize, okay, now they upped it to $20 an hour, so now they're going to put in more kiosks so that they have to have less workers,
right.
And pretty soon AI is going to be flipping your burger so that we don't need you anyway.
Yeah, that's what I need is an artificially intelligently made burger.
Go, how do you dare that? Anybody that hasn't been for a while, go into any McDonald's now. They were already getting ready for this for the last 6 months.
I don't go to McDonald's.
They
basically
made it to where you cannot go up to the counter anymore. You have to go to one of these kiosks, and the best thing that they'll do is come out and direct you how to do the kiosk. Like, that's it.
Wow. So that's
scary stuff. But Red Robin and stuff, it started that a long time ago. You know, they have the little thing on the table that you use. It's like a little kiosk.
So we all got a raise, except half of us got fired.
Or they'll cut your hours. I mean, all right, so now you can only do such and such an amount. Now you're going to be working more as far as overall quality of work, what you've got to do. You've got to do more in less hours.
Right. And how does
Oh, no, because now you go down to 4 days a week. Remember, wasn't it Newsom that wanted it to go to
3 days a week?
Or was it 3 days a week?
How does AI flip a burger?
Easy. I mean,
just,
it's...
Just like you?
You look at the new, I think it's the Tesla bot, and he recently had a video that came out, I want to say 2-3 weeks ago, where you ask the robot, hey, what's on the table in front of you? And it'll say there's a red apple on a silver plate. And
so,
some food, and he grabs the apple and is like, here, this is what I have.
So like Johnny number 5 is going to be, giving me my burger at In-N-Out.
Oh, and so there's
number 5.
One of the number one complaints on it from people were like, oh, look how slow that thing is. That's so stupid. Nobody's going to end up doing anything with that. And then my original thought on it was, okay, yeah, it might be a little bit slower, but it also doesn't take vacation days. It works 24/7. Doesn't call in sick. Has 100%
attendance rate. How do you understand me and people who move from other country or tourists?
Mm-hmm.
This is the question. How can I order a burger?
Oh, I got you, because they won't be able to understand you?
No, because even Siri, she, sometimes she didn't understand me because I have to speak or Ukrainian or really slow and clear English because I have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You have an accent?
Kind of. And there's people who have more,
they're
trying their best, but they're still, they have, it's really hard to, kind of move from Asian language to English, and when you're going to a service point, McDonald's, there's AI asking what you want to order.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, though. It doesn't even understand English half the time.
Okay, here's the secret. You have to say this. Big Mac fries.
Well, no, a lot of it's touchscreen, though. So you'll be able to touch it even though you're not saying anything to it. And I would think in the future...
Not in the car.
Yeah, not in the car.
Not from the
but
car.
It's, I would
Let's
think
hope they don't have touch screens from the car. That would be, I mean,
you won't have to worry. No. What they'll do is when they, after they implant the chip, you just have to think Big
Mac
and
fries.
That's true.
That's what it is.
And then you just, you don't even have to go to the drive up.
Well, then it's virtual and you don't have to go to the, the drive up at all. You
don't even have to eat. It just stimulates that part of the brain that makes you feel like you're full.
I had a Big Mac.
It's your bug smoothie. You just
so you pull off your whatever they call those lenses, the AI things, and you see that you're really not at a beautiful beach eating a Big Mac hamburger. You're actually in your bedroom, and it's a complete mess, and there's crap everywhere. And but you feel comfortable.
Oh, the IRS is knocking at your door. Let me in.
I guess we have a caller.
I think
we have two callers.
So, I think the first one
is Siskiyou Steve.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Morning, Steve. Are you on the air?
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I just want to make an announcement. I'm Mark. I wonder, have you heard Colonel McGregor on YouTube yet?
No, I saw you sent me something, but I've been so busy this week that I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Yeah, I understand that. You're very busy in this time of year. Well, he's got a nationwide thing going. It's called Our Country, Our Choice. And I referred back to them as a volunteer, and within a couple of days I got about 250 flyers. So it seems to me they're pretty darn serious. And then I got a call the next day, or a couple of days later, from the CEO of this movement, Our Country, Our Choice.
I didn't see that one, Steve. I was just referring to the text that you sent me. What I saw was the Great Awakening, and I suggested everybody watch the Great Taking. It's only about a month or so old, and it's actually really good if anybody's got their money in the market. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the Great Awakening was written, you know, made a few years
ago. It's about 10
it's
months.
More information to what I'm trying to do is get to the moms and dads that never go anywhere, do anything other than just keep their heads down and go to work and drop their kids off at school and pick them up and pay the bills. That's all they can afford to do. And I'm trying somehow to get through to those people. Because I see them every day out my window here when they're dropping their kids off. The elementary school is right across the street. And bless their hearts, snow, winter, rain, sleet, or snow, they're out there dropping their kids off, and it's the cutest, most adorable thing ever. But it's also that they can't do anything but just do that. It seems because, we all know, there's the same 50 people show up at all the meetings and the different things that we've been trying to do for the last 20 years. But I'm just passing this along that, you know, along with the great interview that Terry had this morning with the lady from New York, you know, there's people in the country doing something. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of people working out there.
Pretty
now.
Depressed in Siskiyou County, but that's not necessarily the rule.
Right. Well, we're working on it. I'm trying to make out a questionnaire for all these moms and dads and pass it around to every one of their cars, I guess, put it on their windshield or something and go around all the church parking lots and put it on a flyer that just asks them the questions. Are you happy with, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, don't give up, Steve. Don't give up, Steve. Just keep after it. So listen, we're running out of time, and I got another caller, so we've got to go.
Right on.
All right, thanks, Steve. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
You bet.
We got Jimmy on the line. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Our Country, Our Choice is Colonel MacArthur's movement from Florida.
All right, very
good. All right,
thank you.
Thank you. Have
Steve.
A great day.
Yeah, put it in the chat room if you can.
With that, we'll go to Jimmy. Are you there, Jimmy?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Jimmy.
Hello. What's going on, folks?
Oh, you know, the fun never stops. Another day in paradise. What's up?
Nothing. Hey, well, there's a lot of stuff going on. But, Mark, being a financial guy, the first time I ever heard the term fiat currency was from you. And you are so right in that. And not a lot of people know about that. The government is just printing money with nothing backing it.
Yeah, they used to call that counterfeiting, and now it's okay because they're doing it. And
as long as the government's doing it, it's
actually
good.
You know, at the start of the country, if you look it up and you look up with Continentals, when they were printing Continentals, on several of the Continentals, they put to counterfeit is death. They thought that counterfeiting was a problem if you just counterfeited unbacked currency, or anybody just did it willy-nilly. It's basically stealing and theft from the people who are holding the currency that is supposed to be a finite amount. Otherwise, what happens is that anybody who can counterfeit can steal everything, and that's kind of what we're seeing.
Right. Okay. Another lesson learned from me, or from you. Good point. No, good point, because we have the petrodollar, right? Could you explain that in...
Well, the petrodollar is basically coming from the Bretton Woods system, and what that was about was that when the Bretton Woods system was created, and they had central banks all over in different countries in the world. You go to the BIS, Bureau of International Settlements, and see all the banks that are attached to it. What they did was they pegged all their dollars to the U.S. dollar, and then that stabilized the world economy after World War II, because it was a finite thing, and our dollars were backed by gold. You couldn't just print them or counterfeit them. You could only have so many dollars for so many ounces of gold. So then that was then... Saudi Arabia then came up, and everybody agreed to this under this agreement to just go to the U.S. dollar to be able to buy oil in Saudi Arabia. So
this was in the 70s, right?
The Bretton Woods Agreement was created in the 40s, and then later on, I don't know exactly the date, but we went to the petrodollar out of Saudi Arabia. And what happened, what that did was that then gave the dollar a huge advantage over every other currency in the world, because you had to go and trade into the U.S. dollars to get to the oil. And that's no longer. The Saudis have agreed to trade yuan with China and so forth. But in 71, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, we had the strongest currency in the world, of the history of the world, as a matter of fact. And since then, you can go to a chart, and our debt has gone straight through the air, because we're basically borrowing this currency into existence from a private bank who's counterfeiting it. And there lies most of our problems from an economic standpoint. And that's why you're starting to see gold and silver take off and go through the roof, because it's starting to catch up with the counterfeiting, basically. And, you know, we just broke records on gold, ounce of gold, just in the last week or two, three or four times.
It's $2,343 an ounce.
Yeah, and that's going to probably continue that trend, and silver should rise to connect up to that. And you really can't go by the spot price either, especially on silver, because I'm looking at silver right now at 27.5 cents, $27.50. And if you go to buy it online, you look at a silver eagle, you're probably
with the
for
premium.
One. With the premium. So what's happening is real metal actually costs a lot more money than this paper traded crap on the exchanges, which are derivatives of the metal and have no backing and are not. If you try to get them, right, they don't have to pay you in the metal. So basically, it's another counterfeiting scheme.
Well, yeah, and in 2011, silver was actually $48 an ounce.
Correct. Yeah, it ran up. And so we are the most undervalued asset on the planet in silver right now, I believe, and it's going to rise to meet that. That's how they've been suppressing the prices, is through the paper markets and the derivatives. What they do is they short the market, and then they sell a bunch of this paper with no backing out onto the market and drive the price down. And that's why I think you're going to see silver go through the roof at some point. And who knows, the projections are anywhere from 3 digits to 4 digits.
All right, great talking to you. Just wanted to get some insight.
There you have it.
All right, guys.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks,
Jimmy.
Yeah, so that kind of covers sort of a little bit of the topic that I was going to talk about as far as the metals and stuff and the economy. And the real deal is that all these people are saying that the economy is good. Need to look around, because the economy is in a death spiral right now.
All you got to do is look at the U.S. debt clock, man. Look at the U.S. debt clock, and you'll see that we are literally upside down. And it's not by a little bit. Like, we have every single asset versus every single liability, and we are so far underwater.
And if we don't have an event like 2008 where the banking starts to collapse, which I think we're starting to see that happening even now. You're going to start seeing some of these banks. The overnight repo thing's not working anymore. And so we're starting to see these banks are going to start going under. And when that does, you're going to see 08 times 100, I think. But let's say that that doesn't happen and it keeps going. Well, if it keeps going, then what's going to happen is the interest on the debt that we keep borrowing money to pay all our bills, Congress just passed another spending package, and basically they're just counterfeiting more money. Well, at some point in time, the interest, right now the interest is about $1 trillion on the debt a year. And if the interest goes up or they keep printing, the interest is going to go up the amount because it's based on the full amount owed, you know, even at 1 or 2 or 4%. It's going to eat up all of the budget, and then you're just into basically a complete debt spiral like what happened in Germany.
It's already there. So U.S. national assets, in its totality, everything we've got, $187 trillion. U.S. unfunded liabilities, $214 trillion. We are already at a place where assets per citizen are $559,000 on average for all the citizens combined. Liability per citizen is $636,000. That is bankruptcy. We've already been looking at this U.S. defense fund right here, for instance. It's $873 million. The amount of money we're spending on our interest currents, $800 million. We're almost at the entirety of our defense spending just on our interest. Mm-hmm. We are broker than broke.
Well, and there's going to be a reckoning at some point here. There's no question about it. So it's, you know, we're being gaslit by all of these idiots out there. And when everybody loses their pensions, I predict that, you know, the stock market will go down eventually and crash because right now it's going up only because you keep stuffing money into the market through BlackRock and these other big companies, these brokerages.
It's totally intentional. You will own nothing and you will like it. That's what they've been telling us this entire time. How do you get there? You make it to where you can't own anything anyway because everything's too damn expensive and you're broke.
Well, take an hour and watch The Great Taking. And if you're still in the market after that, then you've got more coyotes than I do, because I'll tell you what. When you realize that all these brokerages have basically changed the law to show that whatever ownership you had over the stock certificates no longer is existing, you have what's called beneficial interest. And in that beneficial interest, you can buy, sell, get your dividends and your interest and so forth. But if the brokerage house starts to go under, like in a bankruptcy, like attached to a bank or so forth, then you got this derivatives market. Your stock is now a part of the bankruptcy, and they use your stock to then pay the creditors on a $620 trillion derivatives market.
But I believe in South Dakota, they're trying to pass a law there where they can't do that. That you get paid out first.
Well, I South Dakota's looking more and more attractive by the day.
I believe it was South Dakota that introduced that because they said that this is BS, that the people that are holding it are the last ones to get paid.
Well,
when you should get your value first before everybody else.
There's a collective wakening up, and a lot of people are always, well, what am I going to do with gold and silver? Eat it? Well, no, but you can't eat pieces of paper either. And if people are just creating pieces of paper out of thin air that are worthless, it's not the same thing, because gold and silver have an intrinsic value in themselves that are always useful in industry and as money and so forth. That's why they have the Utah Legal Tenders Act, is so that gold and silver are legal tender. As long as they're minted coins in Utah, you can buy gas, groceries, pay your property taxes, all of that.
And Bitcoin's good. Sorry, got to throw it in there. But I was looking.
But everybody's starting to catch on, is where I was going to go.
Yeah.
There's more and more states. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so in 2028, you'll only be in debt $81,000 as a personal citizen. Just so you know. And personal debt, total personal debt will only be $28 trillion.
Well, you know, when you look at...
I'm just saying.
You look at that whole debt clock, there's so many things.
It's hard, yeah. It's hard to take them all in. Wow. Yeah, so this is in the year 2028. At the rate that we're going, that is where you will be.
So if you look at the U.S. Unfunded liabilities, it's $214 trillion, not the $34 trillion that they're saying is the national debt.
Yeah.
Because they're not counting what's owed on Social Security, what's owed on pensions, and all these other things. They're just counting the money that they've borrowed. And so they're not counting what they owe in the future on programs that they've established. So you get through this whole thing, and
yeah, if you go to the time machine, you can go, you can only go up to 2028
right.
on the debt clock, and then you clock, and you see, wow, how much you're in debt and stuff.
Yeah, and then what you want to look at is the interest that's on the debt, you know. So if you go, we're at 2020, let's look at 2028. So the interest on the national, at 2028, 4 years from now, the interest on the,
yeah.
the national debt, would be say total debt would be 291 trillion unfunded liabilities, so we would be somewhere in the ballpark of there's this busy little thing here, but
yeah, it's really hard to
focus, especially on my laptop. There's so many going on, but the interest on the bank interest received. On the national debt, I believe, would be half or better of the actual budget.
So here's kind of a scary thing. So California, there's 847,000 people unemployed, quote, unquote. There's 4,893,749 people on food stamps.
Yeah, that's because the economy is booming, right?
It's so good, yeah.
You know, behavior rewarded persists. If you give the people coming over the border money and free health care, it's going to persist. They're doing this on purpose. If you don't make people work or hold them accountable for committing crimes or, you know, crapping in the street or whatever it is, it's going to persist. Mm-hmm. If there are no consequences to being all drugged up, it's going to persist. So that's why they're doing this on purpose, and they're trying to collapse the United States. I mean, that's exactly what's going on.
We saw over in Oregon. I mean, they ended up decriminalizing all their drugs, and then they ended up seeing that, oh, well, that caused a huge swath of people now that didn't do drugs that now all of a sudden are doing drugs. Now they recriminalize it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Giant failure.
Yeah, I mean, and with that,
I guess we're
going to get cut. Real quick, I want to let people know that the Election Commission meeting is tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Government,
at the Board of Supervisors.
Government is not reason, is not eloquence, is force like fires, name servant, and fearful master.
All Gun Control's Race. See y'all next week.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.